of an incident in the history of Israel that illustrates a principle that Mary and Martha are going to live out. And the principle is that knowing God is not only seeing His works, but learning His ways. Knowing God is not only seeing His works, but learning His ways. And one of the most exciting things, at least to me, about a character study is that these are real people that had real feelings and sometimes woke up on the wrong side of the bed. And they're real, they're recorded historically for us, the goods and their bads. And we can take these lessons from them. We'll look down at verse 7. Look down at verse 7. This is just after the incident of the golden calf. And Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside of the camp. Look down at verse 13. So this is Moses who said, who's praying. He says, "Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." Here he is in this incident, and he's praying that the Lord would show him His ways, not just that the Lord would show him some new work, some new miracle, some new something, but that the Lord would show him how it is He deals with things, how it is that He works, like who He is, not just what He does. Look down at verse 17 as the Lord answers. "So the Lord said to Moses, 'I will also do this thing for you that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name.'" And so Moses prays again, "Please show me your glory." Notice how, again, Moses is interested in the character and the ways of God, not so much His works, the things that He can do, especially for him. Psalm 103 says, "He made known," that is, God made known His ways to Moses and His acts to the children of Israel. A little difference. The common member of the congregation sees the great works of God, but it's the friends of God. Like the Lord says here, He speaks to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. It's the friend of God that knows His ways. And that was the trouble with Israel, that the writer to the Hebrews brings out, where he says, "Do not harden your heart as in the days of the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, 'They always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways.' They saw my works. They never knew why or who was behind it, or my ways." F.B. Meyer writes, "The ways or plans of God are only made known to the inner circle of the saints. The ordinary congregation learns only His acts." And so as we consider Martha and Mary, we're going to see that the Lord shows them His ways, and that because of their relationship with the Lord, they understand that knowing God is not only seeing His works, but learning His ways. And they're going to learn how God acts and who He is. So let's look at Luke chapter 10. We'll look at the first incident chronologically where they're first mentioned. Luke chapter 10, down to verse 38. It's interesting that we always refer to them as Mary and Martha, when most of the descriptions that I can find from the scriptures say Martha and Mary. But Luke chapter 38, chapter 10, verse 38. "Now it happened as they went that he, that is the Lord Jesus, entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. So Martha goes out and she invites the Lord to come to her house. All right, so he comes to her house, and she had a sister called Mary. And it's Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about with many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." And so we see these sisters. Martha, sometimes we kind of give her a bad rap a little bit. We don't give her the benefit of the doubt. We kind of criticize her a little. But understand where she's coming from. She's distracted with much serving, but it was Martha that welcomes the Lord into her house. She welcomes him in spite of the cost. It's not just the Lord that shows up, you know. He's got 12 other guys that meant men. If you've ever seen a man eat, you'll know, as a hostess, it's something to be reckoned with. And he's got 12 of them along with him, and then maybe various and sundry other people who just feel like tagging along. I mean, it's a big retinue that comes in. It's not like, but she doesn't care about the cost of hosting the Lord and his disciples. And she doesn't care about the danger. The Lord is popular among some crowds, but not all crowds. And there were people that were already seeking to destroy him and looking for an opportunity to get at him. And Martha overlooks that danger to invite her, or to invite him into her home. Notice how the Lord addresses Martha. In verse 41, he answers her by saying, "Martha, Martha." Can you hear the tenderness in his voice? His tone, "Martha, Martha," this express of love to her, this almost pleading to show her the difference between serving and sitting. Notice again that she's not criticized for serving. She's criticized for being more concerned about the service than her guest. That was the sticking point. But understand where she's coming from. I mean, here's a woman who's trying to serve, and she wants her service to be worthy of the Lord. She wants it to be a good service. She wants it to be a good meal. She wants it to be a nice time. She wants it to be a good experience, and she's working hard at that. She's doing well to attend to her house and to have a house and to have it in order and to be able to invite someone like this over. I mean, she's going out of her way. She does well in that. But she also wants her sister's help. And the Lord says, no. The Lord says, "Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful." In other words, he's saying, what need is there of much serving when much less will serve? The Lord didn't come to be served, right? He came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And so Martha's problem is that she's out of touch, a little out of focus with the Lord. And we might ask ourselves, you know, what good is our service for him if not out of a love for the Lord? You know, our service in our own way with our own ideas just doesn't walk. Yeah. It's that she needed to learn that service must be according to his ways and with him the focus. Martha's problem, serving with distraction. It's not that she was serving. That's not the problem. The problem was that she was serving to the point of distraction. Listen to how a Wiest, in his expanded translation, I just think it's almost hilarious as he expands the Greek words and gives us this. He says, "Martha, Martha, you're going around in circles, ever occupied and over occupied with preparing the meal." And that's her, going around in circles, serving to the point of distraction, where she's forgotten about the focus. And so Martha, so distracted, she comes storming in, and you can almost see her, hands on hips, looking down at her sister, and saying to the Lord in this kind of, I can't believe you would let her do this tone. And she says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, again, the expanded translation, take hold and do her part with me. Tell her, Lord, tell her to take hold, get a grip and help me out. Says, no, oh no, you got it all wrong. It's not that your service is wrong, it's that your focus is wrong. Mary's focused on the good part. You're serving to the point of distraction. You're distracted by it. You're not focused on the reason or the person, the individual upon whom you should be serving. I'm the one that you're to serve. Like that's the motive of our service is the Lord. Not for the sake of service itself. Now, admittedly, it's easy to get distracted by service, because service is an easy thing to do. Kind of hide behind service, a little less personal. We don't have to deal with the teaching, you know, that the Lord is maybe asking us to consider. We don't have to deal with His person. It's easy to be distracted by serving. We get caught up in it. And it replaces the Lord. Her motivation was wrong. On the other hand, if you want to criticize Mary, perhaps you could criticize her for hearing without action. Martha serving to the point of distraction. Mary hearing without action. She's sitting. It's the source of Martha's frustration. She's just listening to the word of the Lord and she's just hearing it and she's just sitting there. She's just sitting there. Now we see Mary three times at the feet of the Lord Jesus. This is the first time where we see His feet as a place to hear His word. In John 11, she'll fall at His feet and it's a place for comfort from sorrow. A place to hear His word, a place of comfort from sorrow. And then in John 12, we'll see it as a place of worship at His feet. But the Lord says of Mary that she has chosen that good part. One thing is needed, He says. It's not the many things that you are distracted by, Martha. It's the one thing that's needed. Mary has chosen that good. You see, there's services that will end on earth, right? But there's fellowship and communion with the Lord that extends into eternity. Martha's services are going to die with her. Be taken away. But Mary's choice for the eternal, for the spiritual, was a good part that won't be taken away from her. Notice that the Lord says, Mary has chosen that good part. He didn't say that better part. He didn't say that best part. Because both listening and serving are important. However, listening to God's word must have the accompanying action, and service must be done with the right attitude. Mary chose out for herself the good portion. That good part. I mean, it's kind of like Mary is walking past a plate of donuts, right? And she cuts out the center of the eclair and she goes to eat it. And Martha says, wait a minute, you got to eat the crust too. Right? It's like when you're reading a book, you get to the good part. What makes it a good part? Well, because you've run through all the mundane, other part pages. Well, what makes the center of the eclair so tasty? Well, you've eaten through all the crusty, mundane outside. And Mary has chosen the good part. And Martha says, no, no, she's got to eat the rest too. And the Lord says, no, the good part's not going to be taken away from her. She's chosen the eternal, the spiritual. That's not going to be taken away. The needful thing. That portion she can have. She's chosen it. Martha, you've chosen to wade through the mundane crusts of life and it's brought you to the point of distraction from my person. He said, one thing is needful, to know His ways. Martha's heart divided by many things when it should have been consumed by the one needful thing. Mary understood that what she could do for Him was nothing compared to learning His ways. Who He is and why He does the things He does. You know, there's a one behavior that's done in the presence of the bridegroom, right? But the Lord says that the disciples, they'll fast when the bridegroom is gone. But there's a behavior that's appropriate in His presence. And Mary is soaking it up. She realized the importance of being at His feet while she had the chance. She didn't want that to be taken away. So both learned something of the ways of the Lord. That He would not allow service for Him to eclipse fellowship with Him. And that's what Martha learned, as she was so absorbed in her service, she forgot why she was serving. Like the church at Ephesus, you know, they'd lost their first love. But Mary learned that although she's hearing, she's just sitting at His feet, she's hearing without action, she's learning about Him and His person, His character, who He is. Flip over to a John chapter 12. We'll see a dramatic change in both Martha and Mary. And then we'll explore the reasons why. John 11. Look down at John chapter 12. Look at verse 1. Then, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom He had raised from the dead. There they made Him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with Him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of the Lord Jesus, and wiped His feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of His disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray Him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This He said not because He cared for the poor, but because He was a thief and had the money box, and He used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of My burial. For the poor you have with you always, but Me you do not have always." What brought the transformation? Notice that what we see. First we see that Martha is still serving, but this time she's serving with purpose. She's honoring the Lord. They made her a supper. Martha served. She's honoring the Lord. She's realized what the Lord has done and who the Lord is. And you'll see why in John 11. And this supper is in honor of Him. And He is the focus of it in every aspect. She's serving with purpose. We see Mary isn't just listening without action. She's worshiping now at His feet. The action has brought, the hearing has brought forth the fruit of worship and action. She's doing something here. What kind of changes had the Lord brought in their life? We see Martha, she gets it right. And notice again here, it's that they made Him a supper. Before she accused Mary of just sitting around, but here they made Him a supper. Not just Martha, they're all pitching in to this thank you feast. And Martha has learned to serve with the right attitude. Mary has learned to show action. And here, Mary performs her defining act. The thing that she does by which she will always be remembered. Her, like John, who has the disciple whom Jesus loved, Mary will always be referred to as the one who anointed His feet and wiped them with her hair. Her defining act, she does it here. We might ask, maybe, why does she give Him this perfume, this costly oil of spikenard? Why? Well, she doesn't give it to Him because He brings her brother back. She's not repaying a debt. She doesn't do it because He can raise the dead and she's in awe of His power. She worships Him because she begins to understand His ways. That He, the Lord of life, is going to lay that life down. And die. And through death, defeat Him who had the power of death. And forgive sins by that death. She worships Him because she begins to understand His ways and who He is. Notice what the Lord says. He says in verse 7, Jesus said Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial." Understand what that means. She has kept this. That means that in some time, at some point in the past, she obtained this oil of spikenard. All right, so she had it at some point in the past. And she lays it aside, she keeps it, anticipating his burial. That she's going to use it then. Somehow she picked up along the line that he's going to die. See what I mean? She's understood his ways. And she remembers, I have this costly oil, I'm going to keep it for the day he dies and his burial. She has kept this for his burial. However, after realizing in John 11 that the Lord is in fact the resurrection and the life, she says, I'm not going to keep this for his burial. Heaven knows the Holy One's not going to see corruption in the grave, and I might not get a chance to use it. And I'm going to put it on his feet while I got the chance. Don't forget that there's other women who come to the tomb on Sunday morning, and they're carrying oils and spices, and they're going to anoint the Lord, and they don't get a chance. Because they didn't understand his ways and who he is. Because knowing God is more than just learning about his works and seeing his acts. It's knowing his ways. It's knowing his ways. And so this incident illustrates Mary's understanding of the Lord's ways, and she's honored by it. Her defining act, recorded in the Gospels and now transcending through history, she's honored by this defining act. Notice again her value of the Lord. This oil is spiking, right? A whole year's wages. It's something. This shows us how highly she thinks of the Lord. Compare that to Judas, who was willing to sell him for 30 pieces of silver. Right? A fraction. The price of a slave. Where she was willing to take a whole year's wages. Possibly the security that she would have if anything happened to her her family. Possibly her insurance policy, if you want to think of it that way. This very costly thing. But she was willing to give it to the Lord to honor him. Why? How did they learn his ways? How did Martha learn that he is to be the focus? How did Mary learn that he is the Lord of life? When did they learn of his ways? Look back in John 11 and we'll see the focus on the ways of the Lord as they not just see his acts, but learn his ways. John 11 verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary, this is her defining act, it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. All right? That Mary. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, him who you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And he's going to show us how he works. Because he's going to get glory from this. And he wants to show us how God gets glory. His ways. Moses says, Lord, show me your ways. He's going to illustrate how the Lord gets glory from this. And so, so look at verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister. Mary's not even mentioned by name. And Lazarus. Jesus loved them. So, as a result of his love for them, so, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Now, we might say, Lord, if you loved him, why didn't you rush over there and help him out? Lord, if you loved him, why didn't you race over there and be there to meet them where they need, when they needed you most, it seems? Because the Lord is showing them his ways, how he works, and who he is. And by raising Lazarus, he's going to have a profound impact on these sisters and give them a unique glimpse into his person. Skip down to verse 17 as they finally make it to Bethany. So when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, the woman of action, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. She couldn't wait any longer. Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And the Lord begins to explain to her some truths about himself. But I look down at verse 32. When Mary came to where Jesus was, she saw him and fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." What a unique opportunity. Two sisters, same brother, same question. And we might ask why, that the Lord gives them different answers. Why? Why would they ask him the same question? "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Is it because it weighed heavily on their mind? Is it because that they had thought that if only the Lord had come, and they were wrapped up with the if-onlys of life, and they thought, if only he would have been here, things could have been so much different. If only, Lord, if only, if only. Wishing that somehow the Lord would rewrite the past, if only he would have been here. But in this question, they make two profound errors. First is that Lazarus' death was appointed by God to glorify his son. The second is that the Lord could have healed the sickness and raised the dead from any location. It didn't have to be there. "Lord, if only you had been here." No, he could have raised him from somewhere else. He'd done it before. And they said, "My brother would not have died." Yes, he would die. He had to die because his death was going to glorify God. That's how John 11 starts. His death was meant for the glory of God. And it's because of that glory that Palm Sunday is crowded as people come to see the Lord and they come to see Lazarus. It's because of that the Lord awaited so that he could be with those sisters in their time of grief and comfort them in a special way and to reveal who he is. And it's amazing because we see that God does raise Lazarus from the dead. And many see it. Some believe him, some reject him, but many hear about it. And he's showing his ways. Both sisters, same environment, same relation to the dead, same question, but the Lord his answer to each is unique. Look at what he says to Martha. He says in verse 22, Martha says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know, whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." Here we see Martha, this woman of action. She comes out and she says to the Lord, "Lord, I know he will rise again." And she knows about that resurrection at the last day. She understands it. But she doesn't know about the first resurrection, the resurrection of the righteous at the rapture. And the Lord says, "I am the resurrection." And he begins to unfold to her 4 truths that she had no idea. And he begins to teach her about his person. He says that "I am the resurrection." That's the first truth. That resurrection life is encapsulated in my person. He who has the Son has the life. He who has the Son has life. He says to her, "I am the resurrection of the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Only believers will rise, though he were dead." Though they were dead. That's the second truth, that believers rise, though he were dead. He shall live. And then he says, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. This is the third truth. That, that believers will be raptured. Those who live and believe will never see death. They'll be taken up. And he reveals that. And then finally, he reveals that he himself is a resurrection of dead souls now. That he gives life to the sinner, the one who's dead in sin. He said, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? He makes the most profound statement and asks the most compelling question. I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe it? Lord, she says in the great confession of faith, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the God, came into the world. To Martha, the Lord focuses on his deity. It's an answer to her attitude of busyness and service. I am, he says, the life giver. No one else can make such a claim besides deity. I alone can give life. Life is embodied in me, and she confesses that he is Christ. So she goes and gets Mary, her sister, and says, the teacher is calling for you. And so Mary quickly comes when she heard, now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha had met him. And the Jews who were with her, that is Mary, in the house comforting Mary, they saw that when Mary rose up quickly and went out, they followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. Totally different response. Same question. Here, his response is one of sorrow. And to Mary, his focus is on his humanity. He weeps. An answer to the focus her focus on his authority, that he is not just a God that is afar off. He's a God that's near at hand, that's clothed in humanity, that hurts, that feels, that empathizes. That he is a personal God that's human, that's subject to his own laws, and it is his own righteous demand to fulfill the law and its requirements for the payment of sin and perfect sacrifice. And he takes on human form so that he could feel the beating of sinners and so that he could take the despising of wicked man, and he could die and know what it's like to pass through the gates of death. He's not a God that's afar off. He's near at hand. And to Mary, he weeps. Here we found Mary as Martha goes to get her. We see Mary sitting. Again, we see her sitting. Always sitting, but this time in an empty house. And the Lord calls her from her comfort zone and from being surrounded around by comforters. And he says, Mary, it's not that you're just sitting. It's where you're sitting. And I want you at my feet. And she comes out to him and she falls at his feet. And she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And we see how he instructs her. And he weeps. And the Jews said, see how he loved him. The Jews could see it. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Yes. But the death was for the glory of God. And knowing God is not only seeing his works, but learning his ways. And Martha and Mary are about to see the glory of God. Not to just witness his works, but to learn of his ways. Why he does things. The nature of his character. Notice what he does. And Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laying against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And they took away the stone from that place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. Because of this people who are standing by, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. And we learn about the Lord's character, his ways. We see that he waits. He waits until Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. Why? So that his resurrection would glorify God. There could be no mistake that he was dead. He teaches Martha about himself, that he is the resurrection and the life. And because of the pain that Martha experienced in suffering and mourning for her brother, we have some of the greatest truths that comfort us in those same times. As many people have read over many graves, I am the resurrection and the life. And it has brought so much comfort to so many souls as the Lord teaches us about himself. He weeps at the tomb. The very one who in a few moments is going to raise this man from the dead. He weeps because he empathizes with the hurt that these people are going through. And he shows us that he is a God who cares about the little things, sparrows included. He asks to have the stone removed. The same one who is going to exhibit the awesome power of deity to raise the dead will ask that others take a part in his ministry and move the stone and let loose Lazarus who's bound in his grave clothes. Have a part. Play a role. Take a part. Take up the plow. Put your hand to the plow. Take up the mantle. Play a role. Be a part. Yeah, I'll exhibit my power, but you play a part. You put your hands on it. You get in there. He's showing us his ways. He prays out loud to his Father, and he says these very words. I said this because of the people who are standing by. I said this that they may believe. We're learning of his ways. Of who he is. He prays out loud. It's recorded. So we know. So we can believe. And he brings Lazarus out from the dead. An act so unique that we believe on him because of it. And many come to honor him as he enters Jerusalem because of it. So what made Martha change from being distracted by service? What made Mary change from being a hearer without action? What changed them to focusing on honoring the Lord and worshiping Him, to focusing on the Lord as they serve? What made them change? Well, they learned that His ways are not our ways. They learned that to trust the Lord's ways are always best, even if they're not well understood. And they didn't understand it, but they learned something of His character. A talented woman once learned that knowing God is not just seeing His works, but learning His ways. After spending several years in a wheelchair, one day she tearfully prayed, Lord, I could have done so much for You if only I could have been healthy. And God's response was inaudible but clear. Many people work for Me, but few are willing to be My friend. Few are willing to learn My ways, like Moses, who could speak to God face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Mary and Martha learned that being a friend of God, way more valuable than seeing what He can do, is learning His ways, who He is and His character. And may we, as we see not just what God can do in our life, but may we focus on learning who God is and knowing His ways, being His friend. Heavenly Father, as we see how You're willing to work in our life, Lord, may we understand that learning Your ways is so important, that having that relationship with You, ever deepening, is what will change us. Lord, that we will trust You, even when You're doing things in our life that we don't understand, and Your ways are cloudy, and we can't quite fathom it. Lord, may we just trust You, and may we seek to learn about You, who You are,
and what your person, your character, your nature, your ways. Lord, help us to focus on those things as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For it is in His name that we pray. Amen.